Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you know you should be aiming a little higher in your life, then you need to meet Kamal Hyman. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Kamal Hyman. Kamal is the podcast host of a show called Aim a Little Higher Podcast, where he provides inspiration to people ages approximately 16 to 25. So first, I would like to welcome you to the show, Kamal.
Thank you very much.
Now, I know you are a public speaker. You go all over the UK. I also know that you have an interesting fact about you, which has to do with the Olympics.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so I do want to hear about that. But before we get started, do you have a quote you would like to share with my audience?
I do, and it's a little bit lengthy, I apologize, but
no, listen,
when I heard this quote...
You're talking to an English teacher. No such thing as a lengthy quote.
Awesome. When I heard this quote, it really hit home of what I should do with my life. So it says, "The master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence in whatever he is doing and leaves others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he is always doing both."
I just had a big conversation with somebody about this recently, that I feel like I'm not working and I just always want to be working on my show and the tour that's coming up and the book that I'm writing and my coaching, all of that. I just love it so much. I can totally relate with what you're talking about here.
Tell me about it. It's like sometimes you pinch yourself, like, is this really work? Am I really at work right now? It's amazing. It's amazing.
I know. Sometimes I pull up my Facebook private messages and I at dinner, right? And I say to my husband, just look at my life right now. I'm like, you know, here's Harneet from India, Kamal from the UK, Sylvia from Australia. You know, I'm just going on about... You know, Tasmania, Texas, California. Like,
powerful.
This is my life. I get to talk to all these great people from all these interesting places.
Powerful. It is really an awesome way to live.
I'm loving it. I truly am. Now, I know that you're the author of the book, Philosophies That Raised Me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And I know you're working on a second book now.
Yes, Aim a Little Higher.
Which is the title of your podcast. And I think it's really cool because you're talking about philosophies that raised me, and you're talking about yourself at first, and then you're saying aim a little higher. And it sounds like that's really going to be directed at your podcast audience and your reading audience.
Yeah, 100%. So the first book gave you a glimpse of my journey, and there were lessons in there that I'd been taught from my parents. So one of them, for example, is hate the word potential. And, you know, I tell you how that story came about in the situation where I was literally coming home from parents' evenings and being really happy that my teacher said I had potential. And then my dad was like, what does potential mean? Got me to get a dictionary. I looked it up and it said capable of being, but not yet in existence. And it changed my whole perception on the word potential. So it's a lot of lessons like that and how they affected me and how they can help the audience. But Aim a Little Higher will literally be, this is what I've learned from, you know, all the interviews from life, and here's how you can use it to turn your potential into results.
Right. So you're writing books, and I know something else that you do that I really have a lot of respect for is on your Facebook, you have what's called My Student Brand Daily, and you go out and you're speaking all over the UK and you're talking to mostly adolescents in schools, correct?
Yep.
And so you're providing them a place between your podcast and these relevant articles to kind of, you know, not go in, be one and done, because you and I know kids need to hear things more than one time. They need to be able to revisit. Tell me about why you started your podcast.
So for me, it's exactly that. I get the pleasure of going into a school, meeting these students and really helping them to get fired up and give them some tools to, you know, improve their grades and improve their self-confidence and self-image. But it's not a one-time fix thing, you know. I go in, I work with them, and, you know, for the next few months, they're great. But unless the school has the budget in place, or unless the school, you know, is forward-thinking and has me in multiple times, it can wear off. And what I wanted was to empower the student to say, do you know what? I've had that speech. It's great. Now I'm going to take it upon myself to continue the inspiration, continue being motivated. And the way to do that is through a podcast. You know, it's in their pocket. When they're ready to use it, they use it in their own private time while they're walking their dog, you know, while they're, you know, watching, playing on the PlayStation, that kind of thing. They've got it right there for them. So it's all about continued motivation to build momentum for them.
As a newly resigned English teacher at a high school level, I have such respect and I really am so happy that you're doing this. I think it's so needed and I think you're a fabulous role model. I mean, just so listeners know, you know, an adorable father to his beautiful little daughter. And
thank you.
I don't know if you're married yet or if you're engaged because I did see an adorable proposal picture on your Facebook page.
Yes, we got engaged the day before Mother's Day, actually. So 2015 has been an amazing year for us. We moved in together last year. This year I proposed and our little angel arrived. So yeah, we're getting married in 2017.
Congratulations. But such a strong role model and a gentle person. I mean, I can just tell that about you already. And I think, you know, so many kids need role models. And I'm glad you're out there doing that. So I just want to make sure that I told you that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
So where did this passion stem for you to want to inspire people to work above their potential?
A couple of things. I mean, when I grew up in a house full of love, a house full of love and support. My mum's a life coach and my dad does youth coaching. So I grew up in a pretty, you know, positive household. And what I noticed is when I came out of my house and started to mix with different friends from different backgrounds, that not all of us have that as a standard at home. So people were looking out, you know, outwards to find that motivation, to find that inspiration. And if you found that from the wrong place, that's how a lot of people go down the wrong kind of paths. And I've seen it in my own life where some of my friends have gone down the completely wrong path because they subscribe to the wrong role models. So for me, it's about saying, cool, I've been blessed with this upbringing. I love listening to, you know, guys like Tony Robbins, Bob Proctor, you know, Eric Thomas, you're inspirational people. But there doesn't seem to be anyone who solely is doing it for 16 to 25 year olds. And I thought, what if I could fill that gap? What if I could listen to all these lessons, all these philosophies I've learned and go and impart them on the young people who haven't got that at home? And yeah, I just felt like that was my mission. That's my purpose. So went out and I'm doing it with a passion.
Now, it sounds like if both of your parents are coaches, it sounds like they have a really flexible lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, to the point where I'd have a school play, they'd be there. Sports days, they'd be there. My dad even trained, you know, one of my football teams when I was younger. And I always used to say to my friends, like, yeah, where are your parents? And they'd be like, at work. And I was like, huh? Work? What do you mean? And, you know, it was a really weird concept to me when I was younger until I realized that actually the majority of parents have to work 9 to 5 and won't be able to make every sports day. And for me, I valued that so much as a young child that I vowed that I would never get myself into a position where I couldn't turn up to my daughter's plays, my daughter's sports days and that kind of thing. So yeah, the flexibility is so valuable.
Because most people don't have that vision. You know that?
Yeah, 100%.
Their lives aren't like that. Their parents work and do. I mean, my father was a pilot, so he had a varied schedule. But most people, they just see, you know, leave the house at 6 or 6:30, come home at 6 or 6:30, and just do it again tomorrow. I think that's something also that you're sharing with your audience.
Yeah, 100%. Because like you say, if you don't see it in your own life, where do you go and get that example from? And how do you know that there are other options if no one tells you there are other options? So yeah, for me, my job is almost to, like in a restaurant, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you get a menu, you get told what all the options are, and then you choose the one that suits you best. And I think my role is to kind of provide that menu to young people and say, hey, you can go down that route, or this one's pretty cool as well, but make a decision based on your passions.
Now, when you made the decision to do what you're doing, which I want you to give them the list and say, this is what I'm doing in my life, in case they want to do everything you're doing or part of it. Tell them what you're doing. And then tell us if you had, even though your parents are in this field, did you have any hesitations or challenges?
Sure thing. So I get to travel around the UK and deliver motivational speeches in schools, colleges, and youth organizations. That could be a 45 minute to an hour speech followed by workshops. I deliver workshops where I'm working with like 30 students and we go really in depth about their passion. And my three subjects mainly are academic success, so how to improve your grades, because I went from completely messing up my mock results to achieving straight A's. How to enter entrepreneurship at a young age, because I started my first business when I was 7 years old, my first entrepreneurial venture. And then also how to brand yourself, because I believe students are brands. And when they start thinking of themselves as a brand, the way they conduct themselves around school, at home, in work, completely changes. And they're representing something bigger. Whereas if they just think of them as, you know, oh, I'm just another student, then they act like just another student. So they're kind of the three things I get to deliver. And I also host a podcast, the Aim a Little Higher podcast, and I also do a little bit of spoken word, and I write books. So that's kind of the long and short of what I do. And to answer your question about kind of the difficulties when I first started out, my thing was twofold. Number one, I don't have a tragic story. And if you follow like kind of motivational speaking, it's easy to think that if you don't have a tragic story, you won't be able to be a speaker. And I was like, I've had a pretty sweet life. My parents both loved me. I didn't have any, you know, particular massive difficulties growing up. I got good grades because I sorted myself out. And I thought there's no real story that anyone will care about. So that was my first kind of difficulty. And then secondly, I started speaking when I was 19 years old. And I thought, who cares what a 19-year-old has to say? What gives me the right to go into a school and demand to get paid when I'm only 19? No one's going to take me seriously. And those two things were my major things holding me back.
And you know what's really funny about that is being 19, who's going to find that valuable? The kids. The kids are going to find that extremely valuable because they're going to connect with you in a way that they wouldn't connect with anybody else.
100%, 100%. And it's not until I went out and started delivering speeches that I realized, hold on, I can make references to what's going on right now and it's relevant. And there's certain slang words that I get that would sound really wrong coming from an older tutor. And people are coming over and saying, yeah, I could really relate to that. And everything was very similar. So even at lunchtimes in the schools, I don't like to sit in the staff room. I like to go and sit with the kids and like talk, and we can have real conversations because I'm not a million miles away from them. So yeah, it made a massive difference. And I'm 21 now, but still able to have that relevance with the young people. So my biggest fear turned out to be my biggest strength.
Right. And now your biggest fear is growing out of it.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I mean, this is all going to lead you into a direction. And you know, if you stay around kids, you will always have that because you have a passion to help that age group and not just because you're in it.
100%, 100%. Because like you say, if you're constantly around it, you know what's going on. And really, not a lot changes, you know, as far as the problems we face as teenagers. You know, it's very much influenced by the media that makes us question our self-image, very much have this like lethargic attitude of, I have to go to school. Why do I have to do this? And it's just about giving people a different way of looking at themselves and casting a bigger vision for their life that makes school worth the journey, you know? So I don't think that will ever change.
Oh, man. I think expanding vision is number one. I mean, of course, I'm all about envision, explore, execute. But I think specifically for adolescents, as Dr. Phil would say, until they're the age of 23, it's hard to predict what's around that corner. Now, I know you said you're 21, right?
Yep.
But between the ages of 19 and 23, from what I've heard from Dr. Phil, that's when you start being able to really, truly understand consequence better and to just have that broader vision. So I think if anybody is going to connect with them in a way that could help them see your parents and your life experience has given you that wisdom of the world being a bigger place.
Yeah. 100%. And us being the architects of our own life, you know, that, yes. that we're in control to design it. And I say to students all the time, stop living life by accident, start living it by design.
So what do you think you learned about yourself in the process?
Oh, wow. What I learned about myself, I think I learned that I am better than I thought I was for a start at speaking, at communicating, at running a business. I'm better than I thought I was because I had all these doubts of like, I'm okay. But when you get testimonials from teachers and when you get like an email from a student who heard you on an interview or an email from a student who saw you speak and a year later they've done, you know, great things, you're like, wow, I am good at this. It is making a real difference. So I think I've learned that. And I've also learned the importance of consistency. I do a video series on YouTube called 3 Minute Motivation. And I used to do it every week and I stopped. I got a bit lazy with it. But I've realized that actually, if I'm consistent with it, I'm going to reach a lot more people and make a larger difference. So I think I've learned, yeah, I'm better than I thought I was, learned the importance of consistency. And then also, I've learned the power of giving, the power of going into somewhere and being there purely for the people you're speaking to or purely for that young person in front of you. There's something really powerful about being authentic and being there for them with their best interests at mind. You perform on a different level. I can be absolutely knackered as soon as I stand on that stage or I'm with that young person. It's like flame on, you know?
Yeah, I do know, because you know what? You're looking at them dead in the eye and you know what you're looking at. You know what you see in their eyes and they know that you know.
Yeah, it's a powerful moment. It's a powerful moment.
Okay, so tell everybody what your connection is to the Olympics.
When I was in year 11, I got offered the opportunity to be youth MP for Peterborough, which basically means you're the youth member of parliament and you represent young people to make sure they're not forgotten about where the big decisions get made. I said, yeah, I'll do the role. How much does it pay? They said, nothing. It's voluntary. I said, how much are you volunteering to pay me? They said nothing. So, you know, I didn't do it. Then I got into sixth form, you know, college age. And I thought, do you know what? It's about me standing out in more ways than one. It's about me aiming a little higher. Let me take on the role. I did the role. I left sixth form after getting my AS levels. And I did the role for a year, completely voluntary. And at the end of that year, I got a phone call saying, hi, you've been nominated to be an Olympic torchbearer. And I got to be Olympic torchbearer runner number one on day 47, which meant I stood in the center of my city raising that Olympic torch and got to run with it. And it was the most amazing experience. And all because I spent a year giving. And yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I've got the Olympic torch now, it stays at home. And I'm going to be that grandparent with the same story every Sunday.
First of all, I love the Olympics, I will tell you that. But I didn't know that you got to keep the torch.
Yes, indeed. I believe if you were nominated to carry the torch because of community contribution, you got the opportunity to buy it and keep it.
Now, how do you think that experience impacted your vision about aiming higher?
Oh, massively, because it showed me that if you just have a vision for yourself or have a passion, which for me is just about, you know, inspiring young people, and you do everything you can to make that happen, the rewards you get on the other side are amazing. Like, not even, there's no comparison to the awards you get, the rewards you get for doing that work. And I think it just gave me a physical example of what happens when I aim a little higher. And when I go into schools and I show it, it's a physical example. It's not just a story that sounds cool. It's literally in front of them. And I often let them hold it and run around with it so they can feel it. But it's a real life physical example of what happens when you aim a little higher and when you set your mind to something and just give purely.
I'm just going to tell you right now how cool I think that is, that you bring that with you to your public speaking events. And if I was in the audience, I would ask you if I could please hold it and run around the room also. So,
oh, it has to be done.
It has to be done. That is so cool. All right. So if one of our listeners or 100 or 1,000 of our listeners are in the audience right now and they're saying, you know what? Wow, this sounds like fun. I am meant to speak. Is there a book that you would recommend first that they could look more into this, or something that inspired you?
Okay, so for me, what inspired me was going and finding someone who I really relate to. I went out and found a mentor. I went out and found someone who was out there doing it, speaking, and I really liked their message. I liked their delivery style. And then I got in contact with them and asked to go and, you know, go and learn from them. And it was that relationship that really helped me moving forwards. So go and find yourself a mentor. Go and find someone who's doing it, who you like their style, and get in contact with them. Other than that, as far as books, I have just finished reading the most amazing book for my speaking career, which is Book Yourself Solid by Michael Port. That book has just given me clarity on what it is I do, what my message is, and how I should go about reaching people. So go out and find a mentor. But if you want a book to read that's you know, kind of really interesting and will tell you exactly how to figure out what your niche is, who you speak for, what your speaking business is going to be based around, get Michael Port, Book Yourself Solid.
You know, I'm such a firm believer that life is a process, and you have already made such large strides in your young life that I'm so curious to see where all of this and all of your interests, how they're going to gather and where it's going to lead you next, you know?
I really appreciate that.
So, okay, this part of the show, it's Motivate Me, Express to Success, and quick 60-second responses.
Okay.
So I believe for people to act, they need to first envision this for themselves. They need to see it, right? Then they need to explore what it would take and then execute a plan. So if we're just looking at envision first and somebody wants to be a speaker, what should they see themselves doing?
Okay, so first thing you need to do is see yourself as a speaker, like start conducting yourself as a speaker. Do you know what I did? I went and set up a website and I set up a YouTube channel. YouTube has been the most powerful tool for me, bar none. Get onto YouTube and make a video. Pick a subject and make a video. It won't be very good, but it will get you started. If you see my first YouTube video, it's me walking through a bunch of water fountains, literally just, I've got an American accent, trying to be this motivational speaker. But my mentor told me that one of the reasons he took me under his wing was that video. It showed that I had a natural passion for it and a natural gift that just needed polishing. So get out there and start a YouTube channel. Get yourself a website.
Okay, so wait. Go. So wait, let's try not to get too far ahead of ourselves. So, okay, envision yourself doing it and envision yourself on YouTube, and then to explore. What kind of research do you think they should do?
Research-wise, again, it's about finding out what's out there already. So go and find out from even your local school, when they need their students motivated, who do they turn to? And if they can give you like a list of two or three names, then you can go in your own time and go and look up those people. See what their website's like, see what their demo videos are like. Just get a real flavor for what's already out there. That allows you to say, okay, I am similar to this guy. I don't like the style of her. I like her website. Just gives you like a vision of the market.
Right. And I guess, and checking out TED Talks too would probably be a good idea.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to delivery style, TED Talks is the place because they're so varied. You've got some people who have like a really traditional corporate style and they speak like that. And then you've got some people who are just so expressive. So, yeah, watch a TED Talk a day.
Great advice. So to execute a plan then, and they say, okay, I made the decision now. After I envisioned myself doing it and I explored what it would take, I made that decision. I'm going to move in the direction to get my first speaking gig. Step number one would be?
YouTube. Make a YouTube channel and upload a video of you speaking so that people can actually see what you're like and you can get an idea of what you're like and watch it back. Then I would go to your school, your local school, and ask to give a free speech to one of the year groups. Go in there and just deliver a speech to them, get it recorded, and then now you've got a YouTube channel, you've delivered a speech, you've got a video of you recording a speech, and then you've also got feedback from the teachers in the room and the students in the room. And that's a great starting point. That's a bit of a foundation. And rinse, repeat that until you're confident. Once you feel confident enough, create yourself a website, get those videos up there, and start reaching out to new schools. But to start, go and deliver some free speeches, get recorded, get some feedback, and begin to build from there.
You know, you've given us so much great information today, Camille, and I really appreciate that. And I'm wondering what kind of closing advice you would want to leave everybody with.
Okay. My closing advice would be to aim a little higher than anyone ever expects you to. That, for me, is the most powerful thing. If you're always aiming a little bit higher than anyone expects of you, you're always going to be doing better than anyone expects. You're always going to be perceived much better than anybody else around you. Just aim a little higher than anyone expects you to and higher than anyone else is prepared to. Those last 10 minutes behind class, that extra one question you asked the teacher in class, that extra 10 minutes you spent at the football training ground helping to pick up the cones and take a few more shots at the goal, those kind of things will make a massive difference over time. So just aim a little higher than anyone expects you to.
That is such a perfect name for your podcast. Obviously, it's everything that you stand for, but, you know, aim a little higher. We know exactly what you're talking about, that we need to push a little further. And it just seems perfect for you. So contact information.
Okay, so I am all over Twitter. I'm at Twitter. It's at Kamal Hyman, K-A-M-A-L-H-Y-M-A-N. I've got a Facebook page, which you can go and like, which is also Kamal Hyman. My website is kamalhyman.com. And if you want to email me, it's kamal@kamalhyman.com. And for the podcast, it's aimalittlehigher.com.
And I'm going to make sure I put all the links to your contact information in these show notes. And I'm going to make sure that you're a part of our private Facebook group, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. Sound good with you?
Awesome. No problem at all.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was really a great pleasure meeting you.
Hey, thank you for having me. And thank you for what you do, because, you know, you have been doing this show consistently and I've listened to, you know, quite a few episodes and it's powerful. And getting such varied guests on really makes sure everyone's kind of got someone relevant to listen to. So no, thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. All right. So this part of the show is the go do. This is where we say, listeners, go do this right now. What do you suggest, Camille?
Go and get a blank piece of paper. Write down that blank piece of paper, passion, and write down everything you are passionate about right now so you can see it in front of your face. Circle your top three and then go make a YouTube video about each one of those.
Perfect. I love it. That's the end of the show. Please remember, everybody, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.